Faithful and true. Do you feel that today, that the Lord is faithful and true to you? Amen. What a song. What a message. What a message. Tomorrow, this country will celebrate Memorial Day. There will be special programs locally, as you well know, not to mention all across this country. There will be memorial services given. There will be flowers. There will be flags that will be placed on cemeteries of men and women, on grave markers of men and women who have served and have given the ultimate price for this country. Did you know that there's been over 650,000 lives since July the 4th, 1776, that were given in war for this country? Over 650,000. What about America? What about America that stirs within us the passion of patriotism? What about freedom that makes us willing to lay down our lives for it? What makes us remember? What makes us have weekends like this to remember? Let's look at another nation, a biblical nation, for an answer today. And we'll look at that and see why freedom is so important to us. That nation is, well, really much like our nation. It was a nation that was looking for freedom. It was a nation that was looking for freedom of bondage that they had been held captive for 400 years. That nation is called Israel. Abraham was promised that his descendants would number the stars, that they would be total, that you couldn't count all the descendants. And that promise came true in his son. And now this people have been captured by the Egyptians, by the Pharaoh, and have been held bondage for 400 years. After 400 years, their cry was heard from God and they were freed. Moses went in and that famous line said, "Let my people go." You saw the movie, right? He stood up there, "Let my people go." And, well, he did, but it took 10 plagues to do it. So after the 10th plague, they were released in the Sinai Desert. And they were headed for the promised land. But then, because of disobedience and doubt, they had what I call a detour of duty. They had a detour for 40 years where they wandered around for 40 years. And it was because of their disobedience and their doubt. And now, when they came to this place, now to cross over to the Jordan, cross over the Jordan into the promised land, Moses had called all of the people together and he gave them one word. The word that stands out, we read in Deuteronomy 8:18 when he says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God." Remember, he said, remember. This one sentence gives us insight as to why Americans give their lives for freedom. Why Americans go to the battlefields and have been doing so for two centuries. And you know, some of those people who died were drafted. They really didn't want to be there. But they went. Some died in some freakish accident. But an overwhelming majority of the people who died, died so valiantly. Died so willing to give their life for their country. Died so that you and I can remain in freedom. They died to give their life for a principle. And my friends, that principle is called freedom. As a nation, we have been committed to guaranteeing a free society. As a nation, we have discovered that that no freedom comes with a cheap price. Our spiritual freedom costs God the blood of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And in this nation, our forefathers carried out that principle. As the hymn that we just sang a while ago says, "As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free." My friends, I can get on the soapbox and start screaming and yelling about what we have turned America into, but you know as well as I do that the founding fathers of this country stood on a belief in God, but not just God alone, but Jesus Christ. They knew Jesus Christ who brought them to God. That is our belief. That we stand on belief in Jesus Christ. And when we can't make that stand in America, it saddens me. When we can't make that stand in classrooms, I get angry. When we say we can't teach Jesus in schools because we'd have to teach them all. Listen, all of those other religions is not what this country is founded on. We are founded on a belief in Jesus Christ. It is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's what America stands for. I'm fired up already. I'm fired up. As a nation, though, we have discovered that if we don't keep it forever in front of us, we forget. Thus, we have Memorial Day, so that we will remember. And let's look at the things that why we should remember. First of all, we need to remember that our freedom was a costly gift. God's gift of freedom, whether spiritual or national, is always costly. In the case of Israel, God wanted their remembering to cause them to remember two things. Two things. He wanted remembering to cause thankfulness. It was God who freed them. It was God who fed them. It was God who protected them. It was God who kept them free from the Egyptian army. It was God who caused their clothes and their shoes to not wear out during those 40 years. It was God who was the great protector and the great provider for the Israelites. He deserved their thankfulness. And He wanted them to remember. Listen, Christian, the same is true to us. The same is true to us. The principle applies for us to remember the cross. You see, the cross was God's idea. It was the cross that He said would redeem a fallen world. It was God's plan that Jesus came to die for our sins. It was God's plan that Jesus took our wilderness and He took our detours in life. It is God's plan that Jesus wore our filthy rags of unrighteousness. And it was God's plan that Jesus give us the white robe of righteousness. It was all God's plan. And He deserves our thankfulness. Salvation is a costly gift. And what a costly gift it was. God also wanted their remembering to cause obedience. Deuteronomy 8:6 tells us that, "Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to fear Him." You know, God calls the wilderness wanderings for two reasons. Number one, I think it was punishment. I think it was punishment because they refused to go into the promised land. Do you know how long it took them to get to the Jordan River as soon as they left and it was time? You know how long it would have taken? 2 weeks. They would have been in the promised land in 2 weeks. But because of the fact that they saw giants, and instead of seeing a great God, they doubted and they disobeyed. And so they wandered for 40 years. And in that wandering of 40 years, a whole generation had to die so that the new generation could go in. But I also think that wandering was another reason. I think that He used that wandering as a boot camp. As a boot camp to get those people ready to know what it was like to be God's people. He was training them. He was training them to be who they need to be once they got into the land of Canaan. He was preparing a people. And it had to be a time of obedience. They had to obey their father. He knew that if they couldn't trust Him in food, if they couldn't trust Him in provision, in shelter, how in the world could they trust Him when the battles began and it took a faith so strong in order to go in there and claim the land? So He had to teach them. 40 years He taught them. 40 years of training in order to cross. I had an uncle who served in World War II and made a career out of serving. We called him Uncle Sharky. And when he was home on furlough, a lot of times he came and stayed with us, he and his family. And I don't know what it was about those World War II vets, but people wanted to be around them. And so there was a lot of people always hanging around at the house. And I can always remember Uncle Sharky, when he would go to the store, he was pressed. He had on that suit, man, and he was proud. He was not only proud to be an American, he was proud to serve in America. Boy, and he dressed in that coat, and he was a sergeant, and so he would just dress in his fatigues and stuff, and he would just take off, going to town. And I remember a conversation one time, he was talking about how he had his platoon out, and they had those little foxhole shovels, you know, those little shovels. And he told his men, he said, "Dig me a hole, 5 feet deep, 3 feet wide, 3 feet long, 2 feet wide. Dig me a hole." And they got those little shovels, and man, they're down there digging that ditch. And they got that hole dug out, and he said, "Sarge, that's a pretty good looking hole, isn't it?" He said, "Yeah, son. Now y'all fill it up." And they filled it up. And I remember one of the men listened to my Uncle Sharky's story, and he said, "Well, that was kind of meaningless, wasn't it, Sharky?" He said, "It might be meaningless to you, but if your life depended on it, you'd do it." Obedience to the commander means the difference between victory and defeat, life and death. When you hit the battlefield, it's not to second guess what the commander says. It's to do it in obedience. It just might save your life. The nation Israel, God wanted them to know they needed to be obedient. They needed to be obedient to them. And to us today, my dear friends, when we begin a new birth in Jesus Christ, we surrender us to Him. It's a surrender. It's not an obey because I have to. I'll do it because I have to do that. But I surrender. I surrender me to you. Baptism is a good symbol of that. When we're in the baptismal waters, and the things that we say when we're bringing the people under the water is that we are buried with Christ. Buried. We are putting to death the old self so that we can rise to walk a new life. Dying to self. You know, I heard this past week. I heard a guy tell me, he says, "You know, I have as many selves as I have days." Again, let that soak in. I have as many selves as I have days. So every day, I have to die to self. Every day, we die to self so that we can be obedient to the Father. We have to be obedient. And if we live in disobedience to Christ, then we waste the costly gift. Our salvation cost something, and it came at great cost. And God wants us to be thankful. God wants us to be obedient. And for that, we must remember. The second thing. Our freedom was a priceless gift. It not only cost a lot, but it was priceless. You know, God always gives the very best. I think it's the Hallmark card. If I'm wrong, I thought it was. But isn't it Hallmark that says when you want to give the very best, you give them a Hallmark card. If you want to give them the very best. What was it? If you care enough, you'll give the best. And you know, God gives the very best. That's what He wants, is the best. God did, and His gift in His Son, Jesus Christ, was priceless. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." Eternal life. That's priceless. That's priceless. And Peter said to the man that was asking him to be able to do what he does, he says, what do I What can I pay you to be able to do these miracles? And Peter answered, he says, your money perish with you because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money. It's priceless. It's priceless. For the Israelites coming out of Egypt and heading for the promised land, it was more than about land. It was more than about going over and claiming the promised land. It was about a promise. It was about a promise that God gave that I will be forever with you. I will be with you wherever you go, whatever land you go in, whatever people you come up against, I will be with you. It's a promise. It's about a promise. Wars are fought not for dirt. Wars are fought for freedom. You know, if you think about it, if wars are fought just for dirt, then the blood of our loved ones didn't mean much. The blood that was sprinkled on that dirt just meant dirt, if that's all it was. My friends, wars are fought for freedom. They're fought for freedom's sake. And in the case of Calvary's cross, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection guarantee that He will never leave us or He'll never forsake us. His death is a promise of heaven. His death is a promise of eternity of joy with Him. That's not about dirt. That's about a promise. That's about being with our Father for eternity. And friends, that's priceless. We honor our servicemen and our women who have given the full measure, who have given all that there is for this country. And I don't know how we can give a full measure to our Father for what He's given to us. There is no measure. How do you measure grace? How do you measure life, eternity? There is no measure. My friends, that's priceless. Grace is priceless. And we need to remember. And if this freedom is costly, and if this freedom is priceless, therefore our gift of freedom must be used well. Our thoughts on Memorial Day go to the families who have lost loved ones in wars. But we also attempt to teach the significance of that sacrifice to others. We need to teach others. We need to teach our children. We need to teach our families that the future generations will not become so arrogant that we lose what we have. We need to teach them that freedom comes with a cost, that freedom is priceless. We need to teach them, or else this land of the free will be stripped away with another Pearl Harbor. Or this land of the free will be stripped away with another bombing of the World Trade Center. We need to remember. And we need to use this freedom well, lest we forget. Today's children expect their rights. And if they don't get their rights, more times than not, mom and dad will come and get it for them. Children today are told to look up to stars such as the MTV stars who glorify hatred, and self-promotion. They're told to look up to professional athletes who can't put two sentences together that's not profanity involved. Or sometimes in pro athletes who can't even put together two sentences. Or we're told to look at Hollywood's elite for qualities to emulate. Rich, pampered, spoiled. And yet these are our role models in America. And at the same time, Christian leaders are ridiculed. Teachers are run down. Teachers are handcuffed to the point as educators that what happens in the classroom proves it. The children that we're turning out proves the fact that teachers can't teach. Principals can't discipline. And we're turning out a generation, if we're not careful, my friends, will forget what freedom cost. And it will be lost. This is a fact. Before every great nation's downfall, the morality of that nation melted to nothing. And the family meant nothing at all. And those nations fell. And if that's a fact, and it is, read your history. If that's a fact, how much longer does America have? How much longer does America have to be under God's provision? How much longer does America have to be under God's shelter? Let's look at Deuteronomy 8. Let's just see what happens. 8:11. Beware that you not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes, which I command you today. Verse 17, Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. Verse 19, then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve Him and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. And as the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. My friends, how much longer does America have? We as Christians need to reclaim America for God. Our freedom cost. Our freedom is priceless. And we need to use it well. Listen, church. Listen, America. Forgetting brings judgment. We need not forget. But listen, if forgetting brings judgment, then remembering brings blessing. That's what He was promised. If we expect God to bless this nation, beginning with each one of us in this room, then we need to get serious about using the gift of freedom well. We must teach our children. We must teach them that the ultimate sacrifice and what it means for this country. We need to teach our children that we owe somebody something. We need to look in awe at our service people. We need to look in awe of those who have served and those who have given their all for this country. We need to teach that it cost someone something. And we owe someone something. We owe that. My friends, we owe God the right use of this freedom, not so that it'll bless our own bank accounts or so that it's our own personal sense of satisfaction, but because we really do owe someone something. We owe our service, we owe our allegiance, even our lives, to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We owe somebody something. Our national freedom and our spiritual freedom comes with a cost, and that cost is priceless. Therefore, we need to use it well. And for that, we must remember. Let's pray. Father, as we come to You today, giving You thanks, Lord, for freedom. Lord, as we said earlier, oh my goodness, my prayer is that we never take freedom for granted. Lord, and I know that this is a Memorial Day weekend, and Lord, a lot of people, they're just not in their place today. They're out with family, and Lord, we don't begrudge that. Lord, we're glad that they are able to be with family and doing things, Lord, as a family, and Father, we just thank You for that. But Father, my prayer is that we not forget what the weekend's for. Father, that we remember those who stood on the battle line, Lord, who gave the ultimate price, Lord, for freedom. Father, I pray that, Lord, that we remember. And Father, in our own way, maybe it be even our own homes, Lord, that tomorrow, some moment, sometime, Lord, that we'll be given, Lord, to remembrance of fallen soldiers, men, women, Lord, who have given their lives for this country. But Father, my prayer is ultimate, Lord, that we'll not take for granted, Lord, what you did for us on the cross of Calvary. Lord, that we remember, Lord, that we can have freedom only as we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior for that freedom. Lord, the freedom of this world that begins today, Lord, and goes through an eternity. Father, help us not forget. Lord, help us to always remember what you have done. We love you. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us. And we pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.